welcome to the Mike Wilson program on WWGH. And in the studio today, we have Nikki Workman. I wasn't sure which you prefer, with the Marion County Board of DD. And they do have a levy coming up. But I thought it'd be good if the listeners knew what exactly the Board of DD does and some of the needs that they have. So good afternoon.
Hi. Thanks for having me.
It's good to have you here.
I appreciate it.
Excuse me, Nikki. First of all, there might be some folks out there that don't actually know what the Board of DD does. So let's start there.
Okay. Well, that's a very broad question and one that I had no idea what the answer was to it until I started working there. So I'm sure that there are plenty of people in Marion County that have no idea what we do at the Marion County Board of Developmental Disabilities. So we are the intake for all individuals in our Marion County community with developmental disabilities. On average, annually, we serve about 800 people. And our list of services is quite extensive. So what happens is someone comes to the County Board of DD requesting services, and we basically give them an kind of a test of eligibility, see where they're at, see what their level of ability is. Once that level is determined, we hook them up with the services that are necessary. So that could be anything from day services through, you know, Life Builders or Marca or Chrysalis or one of our day service providers. We also have RAM, who provides transportation and housing. It may be therapies. They may actually need just help paying for a camp for someone with a developmental disability. So it's a very niche. Every person has different needs, and we assess those, and then we help give them the support system and the resources necessary so that they can thrive and survive in our community. So independence and inclusion are the main goals of the Marion County Board of DD. So we give them all of the necessary tools to help make that happen. So that's kind of a broad statement to give you just a small idea of who we are and what we do. Mm-hmm. To break it down a little bit further, we have home modifications and other family supports that we'll provide. So say someone moves into a home, and one thing I've learned in this job is that nothing is handicap accessible in this entire world. You know, we may think it is, and we make bathrooms and put a little sign on them, and we make little ramps and we put a little sign on those, but it's really not a world made for wheelchairs. So when someone moves into a home, they find out quickly it's not a home made for wheelchairs. Right. So we will help widen door frames if necessary. We will help with ramps if that's something that's needed so that they can get it in and out of their home. It may be someone who can walk, is able-bodied, but they need help or modified equipment in their restroom.
Right.
We can help with those modifications. Mm-hmm. So those are just some of the things that we will help support. We also have I'm going to cheat here because I brought a list.
Okay.
So we also have a person that is a kind of the link to the person, the people that we serve, and they are called SSAs. Mm-hmm. We refer to them as SSAs. It stands for Service and Support Administrators. They're basically case managers. So we have, not all of our people need case managers. About half of them need case managers, and we check in with them on a monthly basis, make sure all their support systems that we've put into place for them are working. You know, they're happy. If they're not happy, we find out why. If a piece of the puzzle is missing, we help them figure out what that piece is and then help them get linked up with whatever that resource might be. So that is something that we also offer, is that case management. And they really are the critical link to the people that we serve, because they've got their ear constantly. So they know what barriers they're facing and how to help them get linked up. So we have 12 case managers on staff. And each one of them is amazing and just a fantastic partner and resource to the people that we serve. So autism, is a diagnosis that we're seeing more and more. We're intaking a lot more autism. And April is actually Autism Awareness Month.
That's true.
So, yeah. So that is a diagnosis we're seeing more often. We've learned that there's communication devices out there like iPads and even your phones mm-hmm. that are great tools for those with autism. A lot of autistic people, not just children, but we have autism in adults as well. They're nonverbal. They have struggled to communicate. They've got the words up there, but it's hard for them to get them out.
Right.
So these technology devices like iPads and things of that nature, they're software that you can put on them that will help them look at pictures and then make sentences off of those pictures, which is extremely rewarding for families to be able to speak to those that they love and mm-hmm. want to hear from, you know. So those have been, technology has been an enormous tool for the people that we serve.
It has.
Yeah, and we're actually having a technology fair because we want more families to understand it and realize that there are a lot of various levels of support with technology. You can have someone who is potentially able to live on their own, and they may have someone in their home around the clock, a human, a person, mm-hmm. and they don't really need that. So technology can allow them to remove the physical person and then have remote monitoring. So they're still a person kind of in their home, but only when they're needed. So if they're, you know, if there's a worry of them, if they're a runner, you know, and they may leave the house and we're afraid that they may not, they'd get lost or they may mm-hmm. not find their way home, or you can put technology on the doors to notify the remote monitors, and then someone can come and check on them in person. So that's one of the like probably the largest assistive technology scenarios. But just even software on your iPad, that's assistive technology. Mm-hmm. So we're just trying to introduce that to families and let them know there are lots and lots of options. So we have some providers that have assistive technology opportunities. They're coming on April 23rd to the county board, and they'll be there all day pretty much from noon to 7. So we're going to have them from lunchtime all the way through the evening. So if someone works all day and they can't get there, they can come after work. So
wonderful. And that's open to the public, obviously.
Absolutely. Anyone who is interested in technology, because mm-hmm. honestly, it doesn't just help people with developmental disabilities. It helps anyone with a disability, a veteran or an elderly person that may want to explore those opportunities. The providers that we have, they are not unique just to the DD world. Mm-hmm. You know, they help elderly and, you know, veterans, people who are disabled for not just a Certainly. Developmental purpose. So yeah, so absolutely. Again, that is April 23rd, and it's from noon to 7.
Okay. It's a good thing to look forward to. Yeah. Some folks out there might not know it, but my full-time position is with MARCA, mm-hmm. and MARCA works very closely with the board. And some of that technology I've seen, we have one individual that's how he talks. He mm-hmm. he has pictures and will push those pictures on his iPhone.
Yep. Isn't that cool?
Yeah, it really is.
Because then you can understand what he's trying to tell you. Yeah. Where before that opportunity, there was frustration probably on both parts. You know, you couldn't really get a full grasp on what he was trying to tell you. And he was probably frustrated because he knew what he wanted to tell you and you couldn't understand, you know.
And sometimes this particular person will be, you know, waving his arms, like, get your phone and tell me what you want. Yes.
See, that's great. Yes. That's awesome. Well, good. So you're starting to see it creep into your world as well.
Certainly.
So that's awesome. We love to hear that because it really is a great tool.
Well, on your fact sheet, I'll read a paragraph here. It says, today, more than 800 Marion County children and adults are being served locally. Based on available resources, Marion County Board of DD may provide or arrange for service and support administration, early childhood services, supported living, residential services, family support, job training, employment services, Special Olympics, and many more.
Yep.
That's some of the areas that you folks work within.
Yes. And on that list, two of them that are 100% locally funded that I'd like to point out, mm-hmm. these are things that the levy and your tax dollars directly support, and that's Special Olympics and then our early intervention. So two programs that totally run because our community helps to foot the bill for those.
And may I say something on the Special Olympics? That's not just a one-time-a-year event.
Oh, no.
That's things like the basketball program, yeah, mm-hmm, and softball and different things that these people can participate,
absolutely,
in.
Absolutely, all year round, honestly. So on the back of that same information sheet you're looking at, we have various programs. Something people don't know as well, you only have to be 8 years old to be able to compete in our Special Olympics program, mm-hmm, and you actually don't need to be reserving any services from the County Board of DD. If you have an IEP through, mm-hmm, your school in Marion County, you are eligible to participate in our Special Olympics. So keep that in mind, parents out there. You know, if your child has shown interest and the school programs are maybe a little more intense than you think they're ready for, give Special Olympics a try because it is a very warm, welcoming, inclusive environment. So some of the opportunities are basketball, bocce ball. We've got a really great bocce ball program.
Oh, I didn't know that was still going on.
Oh, okay. Yeah. Oh, okay. Yeah. Tony Nicolosi defends his title very proudly every year. Flag football, soccer, softball, which is going on right now, mm-hmm, as well as track and field. That's also one that's just now getting started. And then also unified golf. Unified golf is really cool because it's a able-bodied person or, you know, just a typical Joe Schmo from the community who's golfing right alongside with someone with a special need or a developmental disability. So we really like that as well. And then separate from us, we have a bowling league that participates,
yes,
at Cooper's Mill.
Weekly,
yeah.
Yes.
So I think it was Dawn. Oh, I always get her last name incorrect. But we have a community member who just decided that that would be an awesome thing to start up. And that is like a really strong program.
There, oh, they look forward to that.
Oh, and there's, yes, there's lots and lots of the people that we serve that bowl in that league regularly. So they have a good time. We actually had a couple teams at the Bowl United event last Saturday.
Oh, that, okay.
Yeah, mm-hmm, so they had a fundraiser, the United, mm-hmm, Way did. And we had a couple teams in that. And it was hard to choose who got to bowl because there were only, you know, four on a team. So they all want to participate in bowling. It's a lot of fun.
Now, we'll just touch on this briefly, but there is talk of possibly defunding the federal funds to Special Olympics, mm-hmm, which we were just talking about. So what you're telling me is if that does happen, that's not going to really affect the Marion County community.
I mean, we
much.
Get some funds from, like, mm-hmm, state, I do believe, for that. But for the majority, our Special Olympic manager funds that program through, she gets grants, and we use our local funds, mm-hmm, a large majority of local funds to fund the Special Olympics. She also does fundraising and has all kinds of, she sells T-shirts and, well, they do. They all do. All the athletes do, too. So, yeah, to my knowledge, and like I said, I don't even really know what's going to happen, what the cuts look like.
Right,
they're having
them,
they're not having
forth, it seems,
yes,
yeah.
So I haven't even really dove into that all that much, okay, but I at first glance, I feel as if we're already positioned more locally based and locally funded.
That's good to hear.
Yeah, well, hear, as long as we can pass our levy, it's good to hear.
That's
so
true.
Yes.
Yeah, that's true.
Yeah.
That's true, very true. So you start out working with people as young as 0 to 3 years.
That's correct.
How, what kind of things do you do? How do you work with
so,
these
folks? So, okay, I like to tell stories because I feel like people can grab onto that, and it's a real human example.
Okay.
So we had a billboard with these adorable twins, River and Autumn. They're the Hartzler twins.
I've
Beth is
that.
Their mom.
Yes.
Okay. And Beth basically had complications and lived at Riverside for about 3 months. And River was getting all of the nutrients because they were sharing a placenta.
Okay.
And River, all the nutrients were going to River, and Autumn was slowly dying, basically. And they saw this, and so they were monitoring her very closely at Riverside. And Autumn's heart ended up stopping at the hospital, so they did an emergency C-section, obviously. And River weighed 4.5 pounds roughly, and Autumn only weighed 2.5. So that shows you the varied level of nutrients that one baby was getting over the other. So they really had no idea if they were going to come home with two babies or one baby. And it was a very stressful situation for them. They both made it. They spent lots of time in the NICU. And when they came home, they obviously had developmental issues. They were early, super early. So they were way behind on their development, even out of the gate, you know. So I think Autumn was the only one wearing oxygen once she came home. They both had it in the hospital because they had, you know, lung issues from just not being fully developed, and then motor skill issues and swallowing issues, you know, which all takes therapy. So immediately they were hooked in with Help Me Grow and the County Board of Developmental Disability. So in that instance, Help Me Grow actually is the intake who hooks them up with the correct services. So if someone has a DD need or a developmental need of some sort, we get in the picture. So with the Hartzler twins, we immediately got in that picture, and through early intervention, we helped them with the speech, which helped with that swallowing. I didn't realize that, but that's a speech therapist that helps with the swallowing technique when babies have trouble eating.
That makes sense.
Yeah, I know. I never knew that, actually, until them. And I learned something new every time I interview a family. It's just such a great job. It's so rewarding. But so anyway, they helped with that. They helped with the therapy for, you know, to make sure that they were sitting up and crawling, you know, as they grew. And they are now a year and a half old, a little bit over a year and a half old. And this story was actually in the Marian Star not too long ago. And they are now discharged from our services because they are completely caught up. So teeny tiny local investment for Autumn and River, which leads to no investment in the future. They won't they won't be linked into our school programs. They will be their typical kids now.
Isn't that amazing?
It is amazing.
It really is.
And that time in your life, that 0 to 3, is so critical for therapies and trying to get them up to speed developmentally. They're just sponges, you know? So it's just, that's a critical time. If you don't get them linked in early, then it can cause you lifelong problems. They could be in our system for life just because we didn't get them in time, you know? So we try to get to them as early as possible. And those first 3 years go like a snap, you know? And so trying to get them linked in as early as possible is critical. All locally funded.
Okay. And under that same category, I see that there's a child safety seat program.
Yeah. I always forget to mention this. Yes, we do. We have a child safety seat program. It is actually free to the community. And if it's income based, you can actually get a free car seat. But anyone can come, no matter your income, and you do not have to have a DD diagnosis. You can just be a general Joe Schmo who doesn't know how to install that car seat, because it's kind of rocket science.
Almost,
it is not easy, you know, and you think you've got it in there right, and sure enough, Angie or Marcy, they're our EI specialist, they'll be like, nope, you know, it's not tight enough, or you might have a twist in your seatbelt, which is not safe, or, you know, the harness that the baby has over their chest, if that gets twisted in any way, that can cause all kinds of issues and malfunctions with the car seat as well. So they will check all of that out and install it for any community member, and that's free of charge.
Okay, and how do you go about receiving a seat and that instruction?
You can call the county board. If someone listening hears or knows someone with that need, or they personally have a need, they can definitely call the county board, and it's a referral basically. So Angie or Marcy will get back to you and hook you up. They have class that you do sit through too, kind of to just give you some safety tips and things of that nature. So,
and with those child seats, if you don't have the child in there properly and you do have unfortunately a crash, the child can come loose basically. And yeah, it's very important that you get them in there properly.
And I know they're a pain, you know, like car seats. I'm so happy those days are over for my family, you know, but I mean, you'd be sweating sometimes by the time you got them all buckled in, you know, so, but just the statistics show that they're just so valuable and saving lives. It's worth it to just take that extra step and get them checked.
Yes. Under Service and Support Administration, the SSAs, mm-hmm. I'm going to read the list here of what they do. Case management, communication assistance, home modifications. You talked about several of these already. Family support, provider services coordination, respite, therapies, tutoring, and waiver services. Mm-hmm. Are there any of those you'd like to touch on?
Sure. Well, respite was one that you kind of mentioned, and that is one that people probably don't really know about. Say you're a family member who is caring or a caregiver who is caring for a person with a developmental disability, and it's intense. So say you are now like a grown adult who is caring for your aging parent and how taxing that is on you for just that end of life, whatever it is, 5, 6, 8 years.
Right.
It's not a lifetime. It's usually a few years.
Right.
You know? Mm-hmm. Take that to the DD world where this child was born with that disability and they'll live to be 60, 70, 80 years old. So that family member, it's a hard life. I mean, it is emotionally draining. It's mentally draining. It's physically draining. You know, they need changed and fed and clothed on some occasions. Mm-hmm. So we provide respite for that. So we provide a break, basically. That's just a fancy word for saying we'll give parents or caregivers a break in those instances. And it's not a break so they can go get a massage, you know. Mm-hmm. It's a break so they can go grocery shopping.
Certainly.
Or clean their house.
I mean, that's an ongoing, that's very taxing. Just
absolutely.
You love that person,
absolutely.
But after a while,
I love my typical kids, and I need a break from them.
Sure.
I mean, yes. So that is something that we really do try to do for our families. Because you know what? If we exhaust their efforts to the point where they just can't do it anymore, guess how much more expensive it is than providing respite? Guess how much more it would cost us to take care of their loved one 24/7? They're doing that for us right now.
Mm-hmm.
And they deserve help for that. So that's what respite is for. And it's an important thing that we do provide to families. And sometimes it's an hour a week. Sometimes it's 5 hours, 3 times a week. You know, it just varies. It mm-hmm. varies on what the family wants. It varies on that level of ability that of the person we're serving. So it's never the same across the board. But that's respite. I think that's an important one to point out.
Which I think I pronounced respite, but it's respite.
Respite, yes. No, it's okay. So,
Tutorings on that list. What sort of tutoring do you provide?
So we have a few tutors in our community who work with those that we have that want to read. We have one gentleman who has had the goal, and everything circles around the goal of the person that we're serving. We want to help them get to that next level of either independence or inclusion, or this gentleman's probably in his 50s, and he wants to learn how to read.
Mm-hmm.
So that's a goal he has. So we've hooked him up with a community member, and she tutors him, I think, a couple times a week.
Oh, that's wonderful.
And he's making progress.
That's wonderful.
Yeah. Now, those are things that we reevaluate on a regular basis. If it gets to the point where we've tutored him for 5 years and he is not making progress, that may be something we will redirect him to a new goal because he's not reaching it. You know,
so
those are hard conversations, but ones that we do definitely have on an annual basis, if not more. So because sometimes that's just not a goal that looks like the outcome is not happening. You know?
Right.
So, and that happens with therapy sometimes too, as much therapy, speech, and whatnot. The older they get, the harder it is you know, you just try to, okay, so we're not doing speech now, but what can we do? Maybe we can do that communication device instead, you know, and we can give you some tutoring on that so that you'll be able to use it and communicate in that regard using pictures. So we'll direct them in another way.
Okay. It also mentions waiver services.
Mm-hmm.
Excuse me. And first of all, let's talk about what is a waiver.
Mm-hmm.
Your MC, Marion County Board of DD, has close to 200 people using waiver services, but what is a waiver? Would you like me to go ahead and read this, or would you like to cover that?
Let's talk.
Okay, let's talk.
People don't like reading, right? So waiver services, basically, back in the day, if you had a developmental disability, you went into an institution.
Right.
So that really wasn't they tried to make it a one size fits all, but it really didn't fit all. You know, some people needed more a stronger level of care or a more monitored situation, but there were many, many people. So I always think of cerebral palsy. So many times that is a developmental disability, but sure. It's not a cognitive, it's not an intellectual disability. This person is still very sound in their mind. You know, they've got a crippling disease and sometimes they can't talk. So they need a different level of service. They don't necessarily need to be institutionalized. Mm-hmm. You know, they're very sound and they can have a very productive life in the community. So when we finally came to as America and decided that that really was not a great situation for the people that had developmental disabilities, we started to incorporate them into our communities based on their abilities. And waivers were a way to fund that. So basically, individuals who wanted to live in the community could waive their right for an institutional life.
Okay.
And that is how the word waiver came to be.
All right. That makes sense.
Yeah. So it basically is just a way to pay for services. Now, there are certain things. There's all kinds of different waivers. I am not versed on waivers by any means. I know there's several different kinds. They all mean and do and pay for different things. Mm-hmm. But waivers don't fund stuff like therapy. Therapy is one of the most utilized services of those at the County Board of DD, yet a waiver will not fund that. So, and in many instances, your private insurance won't fund that.
Okay.
If you have a developmental delay on your diagnosis in your paperwork, then insurances consider that a pre-existing long-time illness and they don't cover it. So you have and waivers are not always funded unless you're at a certain financial level. Mm-hmm. So you can fall completely through the cracks. You can be a hardworking middle class family with a child who has a developmental disability that needs therapies, and you're going to work to pay for that child's medical bills.
Mm-hmm.
And
right.
That's wrong. So that is a lot of what the county board has looked to fill those gaps. We cannot fill those gaps currently. We have cut. We continue to cut. It is not healthy for our organization or our community to not pass this levy. So therapies are critical. Not everyone gets a waiver. But if they do, it's not going to fund therapies anyway. It could potentially fund things like MRCA, someone going to a day service mm-hmm. program, or if they need transportation from MRCA to their job, to their they live in a group home, we can fund group home situations. So those are the types of things that waivers will cover. So they're specific. They cover just a specific bucket of items, and it's just a way to pay for services. Some people get those waivers. Some people do not. There's a lot of legislation circling around waivers because there was this big, long, giant wait list for a million years. Mm-hmm. Like, we have people in our community who have been on it for 20 years.
My.
Yeah. They're not going to get a waiver until they're an emergency situation in our community. So they're kind of wiping that wait list clean and saying, let's evaluate these on a need basis. You know, if it is a extreme or an emergency need, then that's when they go on to that waiver. Because once they're on one, it's funded for the life of that person served. And those waivers are kind of nice because 60% of them are paid through the federal government.
Right, through Medicaid.
And, yes, mm-hmm. and then only 40% of them are funded through our local tax dollars. So for every dollar we're contributing, the federal government's giving us $1.50 on those waivers. So that helps us out as a community as well. So those are waivers. They're very confusing, but they do impact our budget. I mean, we have $9.5 million in waiver services. So we pay 40% of that here locally. And those don't go away. I mean, even if our levy doesn't pass, those are extreme situations that are services needed and cannot be paid for in any other way. So those don't go away regardless. So that's a waiver.
Okay. We're clearing up a lot of
I hope so. Are we?
People aren't.
Are you learning, Mike?
I am learning. I'm learning a lot today. So that's a good thing.
That means something because you are in this world. So
I am. let's see. We're some numbers here that you have.
Mm-hmm.
We can talk about some of those on the front of this
yeah.
page.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Yep.
So,
we talked early intervention earlier, just mm-hmm. an additional statistic to kind of tell you the worth of that dollar. About one out of every 20 children in Marion County receive early intervention services through the County Board of DD. Beyond that, only about half of them end up needing our services beyond the age of 3. So really great investment in your dollars. Now, in some instances, at age 3, when they do age out of our early intervention program, the schools, they can start to pick up those services.
Mm-hmm.
So I hear this a lot, so I want to talk about this real quick.
Okay.
So people say to me all the time, why should we fund the County Board of DD? You had that school and you don't anymore. So what do you need money for? Well, we're not living high off the hog on all that money that we got from students. When those students left one by one because their family members wanted them to leave,
right.
We didn't close the school. It dissolved naturally because mom and dad said, hey, I don't want segregation for my child with a disability. I think they could learn more in an inclusive environment where they see what Johnny down the street is doing. Like, that's going to push my child to try a little harder, do something a little different. Maybe, you know, it will create more enthusiasm for their efforts. So parents wanted children to be served in their local schools. So every time a child left the County Board of DD, the funding that we were using to provide services for that child went with that child to whatever their home school was. So it's not like we kept the money and kept spending school money.
Right.
It went with the children.
Okay.
So those are funds that were distributed to the schools so that the schools could help fund the therapies and the speech and the special needs that they may have, the modifications that were necessary for them to be able to be in those school systems. And I think it was a really messy process at the beginning because schools were not equipped. We had all the teachers, you know what I mean?
Right.
So those first couple of years, I think, were rough for teachers. And I have empathy for that situation because I think it probably wasn't a very smooth transition. But now the schools do such, we have such a great partnership with our schools and they do such a fantastic job with the resources that they have providing services and making that inclusive environment. So it might have been a rocky road to get there, but I feel like it's a really great thing for the people that we serve to be in those classrooms and with their peers.
And the county board still works with those folks.
We do. Actually, we still serve 170 school-age children. We never had 170 kids in our school at Marka, ever.
Mm-hmm.
So now we get no funding. That goes to the schools, but we still provide some type of support. Now, it may be we help fund a camp in the summer. It's minimal in some instances. It may be that service support or case management. We may be touching in with these families on a monthly basis, coming to the IEPs, just making sure it's like an environment where everybody know the right hand knows what the left hand is doing and we're just following along with the school. We may see a need for more therapy than the school is able to fund. So we may kick in that additional amount. So we work with the schools in those instances. So yeah, we're still supporting school-aged children, 170 of them, more than we ever had at Marka School.
But it sounds like that's a better atmosphere, a better
I feel like parents would say in most instances, yes. Now, it's funny. In some instances, we've come full circle. So you're starting to see these autism schools pop up or, you know, schools that are focused on special needs again. So you got options. You can do that if you'd like. I think the schools help provide scholarships if they feel like that's a better fit. But in most instances, it's working out quite well, I think.
well, the next thing on that list is over 100 athletes compete in Marion County Special Olympic sports.
I want to double that.
Over 100.
I'd like to double that number.
Okay.
Yeah, I'd like to see more of the IEP and the school-age kids who are interested in that type of environment to check it out. So I think it'd be great if we had more athletes. Tabitha, if she were listening, would probably shoot me dead because that would be a lot.
That would increase her workload, huh?
By yeah. a lot. Yeah. Yes, but I think she would like that too, though. I mean, she's very proud of her program, and she does a great job with it. And we'd just like to see everyone who wants to do that, you know, enjoy our Special Olympics.
Okay.
So.
And I know that community integration is a big part of what Marka does anyhow. It says amount of time spent integrating those we serve into the community. It says 2,500 hours, but I bet that amount is probably larger than that.
Yeah, that's a hard number to really tap. Mm-hmm. And honestly, we're very grateful for our providers such as Marka, because this is one of the departments that is getting cut from the County Board of DD. So instead of us providing that direct community integration support, when someone needs that community integration, we will now reach out to our providers. So we'll loop into those that offer it locally. And I know it's brand new for Marka offering that community integration piece. That's why we couldn't even do this back in November, because no providers were really ready for it. We were the only ones that were able to provide those integration opportunities. Now we have options. So that is a thing that we are having to cut, and it is a couple positions as well. Mm-hmm. So difficult for us, but we are partnering with Life Builders, who is going to basically take on our employees and that community integration piece. So that is one thing that we will still be able to have our providers now tap into. And it's really critical, because it just allows people to get used to us. You know, people with developmental disabilities, we're a little different. We like it that way. We're okay with it. And guess what? You will like it too. You know, you just need to get to know us. So these opportunities allow, like Night to Shine was
I was there.
It was the most amazing community integration,
yes,
that I have ever seen. Like, that's community integration, like, on steroids. Mm-hmm. And we are so grateful for the First Church of the Nazarene. They are the ones who took that, and then we just rode along. We provided the people, and they provided the party.
Yes.
And it was amazing.
Big, big event.
And the people we serve that were there are still talking about it.
Oh, they are.
It was magical. Yes. It really was a magical night. It was awesome. So that's community integration.
Yes, it is. Even doing things such as getting some of these folks out to bird sanctuaries and
visiting
things like that.
The tall grass chair. Just
yes,
checking out our community treasures. You know, things, opportunities they wouldn't have otherwise. You know. Okay. So yeah. So we love that, because we don't just want it to be us taking a couple of people out, though. We want community members to also tag along, so that they start to find friends and neighbors that are interested in also taking them out to some of our local community treasures. They're making friends, and that's what community integration is.
Now, is the board still involved in employment?
Employment is another thing that was just cut recently. So that was part of our, the cuts since the levy did not pass in November. And we do have some community employment opportunities here local. Marka is also brand new, but getting into community and employment. We were sad to see Jamie Hawkins, one of our mm-hmm. SSAs, go, but she went to Marka to start to take on that community employment, and she will be amazing. She was a really great SSA, so I told her I'm happy I still get to work with her in some capacity, you mm-hmm. know. But people who want employment, they will not go through us anymore for that. They'll tell their SSA, and the SSA will hook them up with the proper employment provider, you know, and opportunities for Ohioans with disabilities. So that whole support system for employment will happen. And I always like to point out Chip. Everybody knows Chip at Kroger. Mm-hmm. He's been there for 14 years now, I think, and he's an absolute community rock star. Everybody loves Chip and knows him. But I love his story, because Chip's family are people who frequent Kroger, and the employees that work with him, he doesn't have family here locally. His life is that job. And it's just amazing to see how people wrap themselves around Chip. And they probably had absolutely no idea that the county board was even involved with Chip.
Right.
So those are the things. When you're voting for the Marion County Board of DD, you are voting for people like Chip who are receiving resources because of your support. So it's very critical for people to understand these are people. It's not a political issue. These are people that we're talking about. It should not be something that's on the ballot. It should be something that the community wants to support. Our ask in May is going to be less than $56 a year on a $100,000 home. That's less than $5 a month.
That doesn't sound like much.
No, it's really not much. Don't buy your cigarettes or your Starbucks, and you got it covered. So, so it's not. It's, I mean, a little bit of an investment to help 800 people in your community.
Right, and these are people that we would probably be supporting in some way or another.
Times 100 billion.
Yes.
Yeah,
yes.
If we are not supporting them in a positive and nurturing way, we're going to support them in a different way, which is not who wants to live in a community like that.
Right.
Show, I mean, Marion's a great place. It's thriving. Mm-hmm. Like, show us that with this segment of people.
You had handed me a list of facts here. We've gone through a lot of these. Is there anything there that we want to touch on?
Oh, my goodness. Sure.
What do we have here? We have 5.5 minutes.
Okay. So we will quickly just talk about why we need an increase in our revenue stream. So we haven't had new money in 23 years.
Wow.
Thankfully, to the Marion community, they have supported our renewals. You know, that doesn't ask for any additional funds. Mm-hmm. We have tried 11 times to get additional funds approved. We need additional funds for the fact that when you are approved for levy dollars, your approved levy amount never increases. So think of your own household. Live for 23 years without a raise.
Oh my, yes.
You couldn't. Everything in our life goes up. It increases. You know, just the cost of living. Housing goes up, gas goes up, the cost of cars, the cost of food. Our cost of doing business, our transportation services, our direct support staff that we help fund through our providers, they're getting a raise, so they're saying. And we will help fund. You know, we pay for those services at Marco. We pay for those services at RAM. Those services don't happen unless the county board funds those waivers for
exactly.
those to happen. So that's not going away. The need is not going away. But the money's not increasing as our cost. We're not getting a raise as the county board mm-hmm. every year. We're living on our 23-year-old levies. So it's important. I mean, it's time. It's past time. We're to the point now where we're not even helpful to the people that we need to be helpful to. I mean, we have cut so much that it's now like health and safety. Well, we don't want it to just be a health and safety thing. We want to have meaningful relationships in our community for those that we serve. And that takes a little bit of revenue, teeny tiny amount of revenue. And guess what? They're completely and totally 100,000,000% worth it. And I know that's not a real number, but they're so worth it. I mean, if you encounter and take the time to get to know just one person with a developmental disability, your life and your mind will be changed. So we challenge you to do that. I mean, it's not hard. We'll help you along the way. So also just to that point as well, just in the last 5 years, our caseload and service support has increased by 55%.
Oh, my.
So the caseload has increased by 55% mm-hmm. again, and our revenue stream has not. So just another example of how we're not going away. The need is increasing, and we need as a community to support that.
A couple of things on the fact sheet here sure. that I don't think that you brought out. Oh, where was that? I lost it here. In January of 2019, the Marion County Board of DD put a plan in motion which included the elimination of 10 positions and accelerating the transition of two services to private providers. These changes, along with many other smaller cuts, will amount to a savings of $1,400,000 annually. Mm-hmm. This reduced the levy request from 2.95 to 1.7 mil. But that's you're to the point of eliminating positions.
Right. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
I mean, that's sad.
Right. And in 2006, this is our second round with these large cuts. So in 2006, we eliminated about a $9 million over a five-year period, about $9 million, and that was a lot of our therapies. So now families, they used to be able to, if they were deemed eligible for therapies, they could get them that week at the County Board of DD. Now we have to get them in the referral with our local agencies. Lots of times there's a very large wait list. They end up having to take off work to drive to Columbus. I mean, it's just the therapy issue is a crisis. And we got rid of ours in 2006 because we couldn't fund it anymore. So this is our second round of very deep, painful cuts.
Yes, it is. So the need is there, that's for sure. And we don't want to shortchange these folks that are being provided services from your board.
And from our community. We don't want to shortchange our community.
Most certainly.
I mean, it's not really even just about DD. It's about Marion.
Very much so. We have less than a minute here. I see that there is a crisis hotline. We might want to bring that.
So we are a main point of Marion County Board of DD is providing health and safety. If you see an individual with a developmental disability who may not be, you see them being taken advantage of or something doesn't seem quite right, you can always 24/7 call the board. And we have a crisis hotline for that at 740-225-9310. And we will follow up on that and take the necessary precautions.
Nikki, you're Herman, listening to WWGH Radio 107.1 FM LP Marion.